Let's think about words that we read in Ephesians chapter 1. Let's think about what it is to have God as our Father. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul says, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. So I want to think tonight about knowing the glorious Father better. Do you know Usain Bolt? Anyone know him? No. You know who he is? Yeah? I preached this up in Torridon on last Sunday afternoon, and there was someone there who had never heard of Usain Bolt, which I found quite amazing. I think he's probably as well known as just about anyone on the planet. Man has ran faster than anyone on the planet, I think. Do you know him? Well, you might say, yes, I know, but no, you don't actually know him. You know about him. If you're going to know him, notwithstanding the fact he's a big celebrity and you've probably seen him on television many times, you've got to actually meet him personally to know him. You've got to actually be introduced to him. And for him to know who you are before you can really say that you know him. So do you know God? It's the same question really. You can know about God, but there has to come a time when that changes for us to actually be able to say that we know him. There has to be a time when we make our first introductions to God and first meet him. And that happens when we recognize who he is for the first time and who we are before him, and ask that he'll forgive us for our sins and ask that he will receive us graciously. And there are lots and lots of ways that people go through that experience. No two people are the same, but one way or another, men and women and young people everywhere are finding God as their Father for the first time, even tonight, and they're making their first introduction to him. Their first time when they take him seriously and actually meet with him and meet him on his own terms, which is the only way to meet with God and seek his forgiveness and that we'd be right with him. And then we can begin to say that we know God. We don't know him very well, but we can begin to say that we know God. We've got past the first hurdle of meeting him, but now we need to go on to get to know, as this verse says, to get to know him better. And first of all, I wonder, do you know God? And if you can't say you've made that introduction, then that's really something that needs to be the priority of your life, is seeking to meet with God. And it's something you can only do in prayer, and you can only do for yourself. No one else can do for you. But if you've made that first introduction, then the second question is, are you getting to know him better? Because that's the next thing that we need to do. And it's the business of our lives. Once we meet God, is getting to know him better. Get past the introductions and get to know him better. So I'm just going to go through a few points that come out of this passage and help us to think about this theme. The first thing is that God the Father knows the Christian. He knows you. If you're one of his children, he knows you. Now, he doesn't need to get to know you. Because he's God, he knows you. He knows you entirely. He knows absolutely what you amount to, who you are, where you've been, what you're doing, what you are now, even where you're going. He knows what his relationship is with you completely. And his relationship with you, if you are one of his children, is the relationship of a father. So, for example, in verse 5 of the chapter, God predestined us to be adopted, it says. To be adopted as his sons, as a generic term really, as his children, his sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ. And then, when we're adopted, he becomes, what verse 17 calls, our glorious father. And he knows that. He knows he's our father through Jesus Christ. He knows that. And he knows exactly what that means. That's the first thing. And it's something to recognize. God doesn't need to be taught about the relationship he has with us. He doesn't have anything more he can learn about it. He knows it completely. The other side of that is, though, that we must get to know that relationship. We must get to know him as a father. We must get to know him better. Another image of becoming a child of God that's used in the Bible, particularly by John actually, is of being born of God. Being born again, Jesus said, or being born of God. The term born of God occurs six times in the letter 1 John. That we're born of God. So we're born into God's family. That means that we become his son or his daughter when we first meet with him, when we first seek him and seek his forgiveness. When we first come and meet him on his terms, we become his children. We're adopted, we're born of God. Two different images, but they're both saying we become his children. Now, this led me to think about when Kenny was born. And the midwife handed Kenny to me. And I remember in the labour suite in Rigmore just walking around holding Kenny. And it was an ecstatic experience. I had tears in my face. I was laughing and I was crying at the same time. It was an amazing experience. And as I looked at this little boy, I thought, I'm your father. I'm your father. And I knew that completely. I knew what my relationship with him was, totally and completely. But he didn't know anything about his relationship with me. He was born as my son, and I was his father. He was every bit as much my son as I was his father, but I knew that I was his father. He didn't know he was my son. He didn't know anything. He had to learn. When we're born again, when we're adopted into God's family, God knows exactly what's happened. He knows when it happens. He knows exactly what it means. But we don't. We have to begin to learn that God is our Father. God knows us completely, but we need to begin to know God and to get to know him better. So, is that what you're doing tonight? Are you like that baby who's just beginning to discover, or maybe a little bit further on in life, just getting into discovering what it means to be a son or a daughter of God? How is that going to happen? How are you going to learn? That's our next question. Well, verse 17 tells us, it's by the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's what Paul is asking for the Christians. He's saying, I want you to be given the Spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know your Father in heaven better. The word revelation there means a bringing out of hiding. So what it's saying is God is there. He's revealing himself to us as a father, and what that means is he is our father, but that's hidden from us, and we need him to bring out of hiding so that we can see what it really means. And I won't ever figure out what I am in relationship to God myself. I can't figure it out myself. I can't just sit down one day and, adopt the position of a deep thinker and say, well, I'm going to figure this out. We can't do that. It's a matter of revelation. It's a matter of the wisdom of the Spirit. God has to show me. For that then, we need to recognise that it isn't enough simply to go to church, for example, or to read the Bible. That what we need is for God to use these things, and the fellowship we have with one another, the Christian discussion we have with one another, is for God to use these things by His Spirit. You know, going to church doesn't accomplish anything unless the Spirit of revelation is at work in our lives. Reading the Bible doesn't do anything for us unless the Spirit of revelation is at work in our lives. But if the Spirit of revelation is at work in our lives, then these things can benefit us greatly. And so we need to pray that God will give us His Spirit of wisdom and revelation. And if you wonder how to pray for other Christians, we tend to pray for their sicknesses and ailments and this sort of thing, their personal problems. Here's a far better thing to pray for. Pray for the Spirit of wisdom and revelation to be given to your fellow Christians and to yourself, that you may know Him better. You may know the Father in heaven better. And Paul says, I keep asking. I keep on asking. It's not just something he asks for once. I mean, he believes Christians have the Holy Spirit within them. But he's asking the Spirit will just keep on revealing and revealing and revealing the Father more and more every day. Jesus promised something like this. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus said, "You fathers," he said, he's speaking to the disciples, "though you fathers are evil," he said, "you know how to give good gifts to your children. And how much more then will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" So the Father loves to give the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, but it does say we need to ask. And that's what Paul's doing here. We need to ask that God will fulfill His promise to give His Spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we can be woken up out of our slumber and out of our ignorance to know the Father that we have in God. Here's another thing. We may need to learn what a father is. Again, that promise in Luke chapter 11 tells us that our experience of fathers may not be so good. Jesus says to the disciples, "You are evil, although you do know how to give good gifts to your children." Fathers are not perfect in this world. Human fathers are flawed. Some of them are terribly flawed. And some fathers are flawed in that they spoil their children. And they can't say no to their children. And they have no discipline over their children. And other fathers are flawed in that they're too disciplinarian. They're brutal. They're cruel. They're capricious. They're unpredictable. Or perhaps they're abusive. Perhaps they're neglectful. There's all kinds of ways in which a father can go wrong. Even if they are generally good, they can still and will still have their mistakes. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that we had fathers who disciplined us for a while as they thought best, it says. That's what the writer of Hebrews says, Hebrews 12 verse 10. They disciplined us they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in His holiness. Well, the Father in heaven knows how to discipline His children always the right way. But our earthly fathers, they did as they thought best, and that's different. There's a difference between doing as you think best and just doing the right thing. God doesn't do His best. God does the best, and there's a difference. Whenever God does anything, it's the best it could be done. Whenever we as fathers discipline our children, or whenever we as children were disciplined by our fathers, there were flaws, there were mistakes made. So, more or less, we all have to learn what a heavenly father is. We can think of analogy up to some point between God as a father and our earthly fathers, but our earthly fathers are flawed. And we're going to see that as time goes on, that God the Father is entirely different and better than our earthly fathers. And we need to understand that. So, I was thinking this week. I was up in Inverness visiting my mother, and she's in hospital just now, and I thank you for all who've been praying for her and who've been asking after her. She is making progress, and hopefully she'll get home with a care package shortly. But I was sitting with her, and I was thinking about the relationship I have with my mother, and I was thinking about the assumptions of that relationship, just the way that I can speak to her. And I can speak to her differently to any other person on the planet because she's my mother. She's been there all my life. And she knows me. And she knows who I am and what... I can't pretend to be something because she knows. She knows what I really am. And it's the same with a father, I guess, too. Our fathers, if they're any worth anything at all, then you know, they've followed through our lives, and they know a fair bit about us, and we have certain assumptions that we make in our relationship to them because they're our father. We don't have to start explaining ourselves. We don't have to apologize for coming into their company, and we can assume certain things about how they're going to treat us and so on. Well, we need to think about our assumptions of God as a Heavenly Father. Because I think sometimes we assume too little. We don't expect enough. That's probably always true. We don't think well enough of God as a Heavenly Father. We don't think highly enough of His character and of His generosity and willingness to bless, or of His holiness and His purity, His truthfulness and His justice. We need to really get to grips with what it means to have a child's relationship with God. And you can't really learn that out of a book just trying to figure it out yourself. You need God to reveal it to you, and you need to learn it from God. So this is important. We may need then to learn what a father is in relationship to our Heavenly Father. The next thing is that if we're doing this, we're only doing what Jesus did. Jesus had to learn what it meant to be the Son of the Heavenly Father too. Because when Jesus was born, in his human understanding, he knew nothing about who he was. He had to learn who he was. He had to learn that, as verse 3 says, God was his Father, God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He had to learn that relationship, and he had to learn it from scratch. And it was for Jesus the most important concern in his life. We get a little snapshot of that in the episode in Luke chapter 2 where Jesus is 12 years old. Remember what happened? Jesus and all the family and all the neighbours from Nazareth are down in Jerusalem for the I can't remember which festival, was it the Passover? I can't remember. And Jesus is trusted a great deal, obviously, by Mary and Joseph, and they set off for home thinking Jesus is just travelling with the rest of the family and the extended family and the neighbours and so on. And only later realise he's not, and they go back to Jerusalem and find Jesus in the temple eventually. And they want to rebuke Jesus. Why have you done this to us? But Jesus actually rebukes them. It's extraordinary. He says, don't you know me by now? Don't you know what is the most important concern of my life? And this is exactly what Jesus said. He said, didn't you know I had to be in the things of my Father? That's literally what he says. Some translations say about my Father's business or in my Father's house. But literally what he says is, didn't you know I had to be in the things of my Father? That was what Jesus' concern was as he grew. Just to know what the things of his Father were. To grow up. Knowing more and more and more the most important relationship that he had and what it meant. So when we as Christians are learning what it is to have God as our Father, the more we learn that, the more like Jesus we become, because he did the same thing. And Jesus learned that when he came to his Father, for example, in prayer, what he trusted when he prayed to his Father was the relationship. Now, I know when we come to God in prayer, it's very easy for us to trust something else. We maybe trust the quality of our prayers. We say, well, that was a good prayer. God's going to be impressed with that one. Or we say something like, that was a long prayer. God's got to hear me for that. Or, I feel good about how I prayed there. And we trust the feeling. We trust our faith sometimes. I feel really strong about this. I'm sure that God's going to do something here. Or we trust even our own goodness. I think I'm really doing well just now as a Christian. I'm a good Christian just now. God's going to be happy with me. He's going to answer. Jesus didn't do any of that. When he prayed, he just simply trusted the relationship. He said, I am here as your son. And I know that you are going to hear my prayer because you are my Father. And I know that you're going to hear my prayer because I am your son. It's your son that's speaking to you. And because of that special relationship that I have with you, I know that what I'm praying now matters to you. That's a wonderful place to get to in our prayers too. Where we don't have to feel something, or we don't have to think that our faith is great, or that we're doing well, or that we've prayed a long prayer or something like that. But just to be in God's presence, say, I've got every right to be here because I am his son. I am his daughter. I've got every business to be here because I make it my business to be in the things of my Father, and he makes it his business to be in the things of his daughter or of his son. The relationship is what matters and what we base our confidence on with God. That's where we want to get to as Christians. Ask God then to reveal to you how to pray like that by the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Here's another thing. You can get to know God better at all times. By that I mean there's not a moment when you can't be growing in your relationship with your Heavenly Father. See, it's different. When we had our earthly fathers, when we were with them, we were always glad if they would give us some time just between themselves and us. If you were privileged to that, to a father, say, sometimes maybe, I'll read to you. Or they'd go out and play football with you. Or they'd go shopping with you. Or they'd take you fishing or something. You'd walk around with your head held high because your daddy was giving you full attention. Very precious and wonderful. But then your daddy was busy a lot of the time. He was off working. He had a lot of other concerns. And you only maybe got those special times occasionally. Those times when you felt you were getting a relationship deepened with them. Bonding time, as they call it. Well, you can bond with a God the Father at any time. You don't have to wait for him to give you his full attention, because he gives it to you all the time. How precious are your thoughts to me, says David. They're more than can be numbered. Doesn't matter when I'm asleep or when I'm awake, I'm still with you. As we'll sing in a minute, nevertheless, continually, Lord, I am with you. You're there all the time. And I've got your full attention all the time. I can be getting to know you better, whatever I'm doing, whether I'm at church, or whether I'm praying, or whether I'm reading the Bible, or, you know, whether I'm at the kitchen sink, or whether I'm driving my car, or whether I'm at my work desk, or whatever. You're there, Father, all the time. I can be getting to know you better. So I don't need to wait for God to say, let's spend some time together, because he's always there. Something else. Let's just ask very briefly, what are some of the things that we can get to know better about our Heavenly Father? Well, we can get to know his word better. There are different ways to read the Bible. I'm not sure that we were all taught how to read the Bible. Perhaps, for example, in school. If we had Bible reading in school, often it was more like a lesson. And sometimes we maybe had to go home and memorize passages and things. And sometimes that could be a bit of an ordeal. And the Bible was a sort of exercise book, just like your maths book. And that's just not right. But I think as Christians as well, we can still have a kind of legalistic attitude to the Bible, that we've got to kind of read a chapter every day or something like that. But this is your Father's word. Everything in this book is your Father speaking to you. And to read the Bible with that attitude transforms it. My Father is going to speak to me. I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 1. I wonder what my Father has to say to me through that today. Father, reveal by your Holy Spirit yourself to me again today as I read your word. It's a different way to read the Bible, his word. His character is another thing that we can get to know better. His character. Verse 2, for example, of chapter 1. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. The character of God. Verse 3, our Father blesses with every spiritual blessing in Christ in the heavenly realms. Right through the book, it goes on telling us what the Father does. Right to the end of the book, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 23, it says, peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father. So the Father has a character, and his character is explored in this book, for example. Grace and peace and blessing and love are examples of what that character is. We can find out then more and more about the character of God. What else? Well, very briefly, verse 18, we can find out about the hope to which he has called us. The hope, our future with him. Verse 18, again, we can find out the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. That's a great picture too, isn't it? His glorious inheritance, what he has to share with us forever. Verse 19, his incomparably great power for us who believe. We can find out about what that is. We can get to know that better, his power. Here's another one just to mention before we come to a close, and that is our authority. John chapter 1 verse 12, to all who believed in Jesus and to those who received him, God gave authority to become the children of God. We have authority. You ever thought of that in relationship to God? God gives you an authority, the authority of a son or a daughter with his or her father. You've got authority. You can have confidence in the Father's presence. You know you're coming to your Father, and he'll always do best for you. He's faithful. He loves you. You can exercise that authority in prayer. And finally, this goes on forever. We need to realize that getting to know God as a Father doesn't stop when we die. Or the level we reached as a Christian when we die isn't our final level. It's just not like that. We've hardly begun. Thankfully, we can look forward to much better than any of us knows just now. We can look forward to, instead of seeing God as it were in a mirror darkly, we can look forward to seeing him face to face. Our whole future as Christians is a future with God as Father. And it goes on forever and ever into the ages and the ages of eternity. A relationship that gets better and deeper and stronger forever. In verse 7 of chapter 2, Paul describes what God's got in store for the future. He says, in the ages to come, verse 6, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. That's for eternity. The ages to come, the Father's going to be showing himself to his children, showing his kindness, showing his grace. That is a wonderful, wholesome picture of the future. A future of relationship where we can surely delight in God and relish what he is and nurture ourselves upon his character and upon his fatherhood forever. So let us, my friends, make it our business, like Jesus, to be in the things of our Father, so that we may get to know him better and get to know what it means for us to be the children of God and to be able to call him Abba Father and to know his blessing in our lives. Amen.